Hi there, boys and girls.
Greetings from Uncle Dan and me and every member of your Story Hour cast.
Today I have a Bible story to tell, a very, very unusual one, about a man who is seldom mentioned, yet he wrote one of the Gospels.
Matthew?
No, Aunt Sue. Mark. John Mark.
John Mark? Is his first name John?
Well, in the book of Acts, he is mentioned several times as John, whose surname is Mark. But for the sake of clarity, we'll simply call him Mark all the way through this story. The book of Acts makes reference to John Mark in chapters 12, 13, and 15.
And what's the title of this story, Uncle Dan?
Well, it's about one of the big mistakes Mark made. So I'll call the story...
The Man Who Turned Back.
After 3 days in the tomb, Jesus arose and for a time walked with his disciples, teaching them that they should tell the story of his crucifixion and resurrection to all the world. Then he ascended to his Father in heaven. When the disciples began to preach a risen Savior, they were sorely persecuted. Wicked men who were determined to stop this new religion of Christ beat the disciples, imprisoned them, even put them to death. The disciples were always in danger. John Mark, with his mother Mary, lived in a home hidden behind a high wall, well off the beaten path in Jerusalem. Mark gave the use of his home to the harassed disciples. There they could eat, sleep, study, and pray in comfortable surroundings, fairly safe from the persecution of the wicked enemies of Jesus. Even so, they were constantly in danger and had to keep the gate in the wall carefully closed and locked. Even Mark had to use a secret signal when he entered his home.
It's me, Rhoda. Mark, please open the gate for me.
Master Mark, oh, your mother will be glad you're safely home.
Yes, I'm safe, but I have bad news.
Again? Oh, the last was so terrible,
yes.
Master.
I know. The master was slain on Calvary.
A disciple this time?
No, Rhoda, the news isn't quite that bad.
But they will kill a disciple. They will. You just wait and see.
You mustn't say such things, even think them, Rhoda.
But it's true, Master Mark, it's true. They will. I know they will.
Is that you, Mark?
Your mother.
Yes. Yes, Mother, it's me.
Come in.
I was just finishing prayer, son. I'm so glad you're home. Come in, both of you. Sit down.
I have news, Mother, of the gravest...
They've caught one of the disciples?
Peter, Mother.
How terrible.
Oh. Yes, they have him in prison. They're going to hold him until the feast is over.
And what then?
The usual...
Oh, no.
King Herod plans to make this one a public spectacle. The people will watch Peter die.
Oh. Peter must not die. His work is only started. Mark? Quick, go get the others. We will have a special prayer for Peter.
But, Mother, he's in a locked cell. 16 guards take turns watching him night and day. He's even chained to two of them. There's nothing we can do.
Remember, son, the other time, when Peter and John were in prison, how the Lord set them free?
I remember, Mistress. An angel came and opened the gate and led them out of the prison.
Yes. Well, all right, Mother, I'll go ask the others to come here. For special prayer.
Many of the disciples and members of the church answered Mark's summons and appeared alone, in twos or in groups, to pray for Peter. While Mark and his mother joined in the praying, Rhoda stood watch at the gate to make sure no uninvited guests made their way into this inner circle of believers.
I wonder who that can be. It's a secret knock. Must be one of the disciples, but the disciples are all here. Who is it?
Peter.
Peter. Who?
It is I, Peter.
Oh, it is Peter. I'll run tell the others. Oh, Peter. They'll be so happy. He's here. P- Peter, he's here. He's here.
Rhoda, Rhoda, hush. You're disturbing the meeting.
But he's here, I tell you.
Who's here?
Peter.
Come, Rhoda, explain what you're talking about.
It's Peter. He's at the gate, knocking to be let in.
Rhoda.
Why didn't you let him in?
Could it be that they've killed him already?
No, no, I heard his voice. Come and see for yourself.
We'll all go.
Yes, we'll all go.
Yes, hurry.
Oh, it is Peter, I tell you.
Please open and let me in. Please, it's Peter.
It is
Peter. Please let me in.
It is Peter. That's his voice.
Quick, open the gate.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Peter.
Friends.
How happy we are.
How did you get out of prison, Peter?
An angel of the Lord came into the prison, and the chains fell from my hands.
An angel?
The angel led me out of the prison, through the city gates, and here I am.
Peter was often at Mark's home after that. The spreading of the message of a risen Savior progressed slowly. There came a day when the disciples were instructed to carry the story of Jesus to people outside of Jerusalem, to people in faraway lands. John Mark longed to be one of those chosen to go to those faraway places to tell the people there about the wonderful Jesus. But such was not his lot. In time, a famine came upon the land. The people of Jerusalem were hungry. Mark and his mother Mary were no exceptions. Their table, usually heaped with food, is now lean and empty. Mary was often hungry. The servants were hungry too. Young Mark's head was so full of dreams of being a missionary that he seemed to scarcely notice the famine.
Mark?
Oh, yes, Mother.
Dreaming again, son?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide where I want to go. There are so many exciting places.
Samaria, perhaps?
Samaria. I could work with Peter, John, and Philip.
Your Uncle Barnabas and Paul are up in Syria, aren't they?
Yes, Mother. Oh, that's for me, the far countries.
It sounds wonderful, Mark. But before you go, think of
think of the people I'll meet and the languages I'll use. The apostles will need my education.
I was going to say, think of the hardships, Mark. Are you sure you want to climb mountains and wade rivers and fight off robbers?
I'm used to dangers, Mother. Why, it was right here in Jerusalem that James lost his life. With the famine and all, I doubt if Uncle Barnabas and Paul have it any harder than we do.
Perhaps you're right, son. Perhaps they're worried about us. There's a flood in Antioch, I hear.
Ah, Antioch. How I'd love to see that city. Mother, do you think Uncle Barnabas and Paul would let me join them at Antioch?
I don't see why they...
You have visitors, mistress. They're in the other
room. Mary!
Barnabas!
Uncle Barnabas! Oh, we're just talking about you. Are we glad to see you? Where's Paul? Didn't he come with you?
Oh, yes, but he thought I should greet you first. He's waiting at the gate.
Well, go get him. Bring him in.
Uncle Barnabas, what brings you and Paul home from Antioch?
Well, we thought you'd be glad to see us.
And the things we brought with us.
Brought with you?
Yes, come to the window and look outside.
Donkeys! Just look at them all, and loaded.
Yes, my sister, loaded with food.
But how did you know we were hungry?
Another miracle, Mark. One of the brethren named Agabus had a vision during a meeting, saw the condition here.
Immediately, we made plans to save food and bring it to the brethren here in Jerusalem.
How good is the Lord! You must be hungry, traveling so long. I'll have your dinner prepared.
And I'll go see to the donkey.
Well, Mark, it's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk together.
Uncle Barnabas, it must be rather hard traveling with a man such as Paul, who used to be an enemy of believers.
Oh, but Paul's one of us now, a true disciple.
Yes, I know, Uncle Barnabas, but still, you should have someone else with you, someone, well, in the family.
Oh, I see what you're after.
I lie awake nights wishing, praying that I can go to the far lands and give the news of a risen Savior to the unbelievers. Will you take me with you, Uncle Barnabas? Will you?
Well, Mark, I'm not a one to make quick decisions. I'll talk to Paul about it and see what he...
Talk to me about what, Barnabas?
My nephew here wants to go with us, Paul.
Oh, that's a worthy desire. But right now, I want to know what to do with the packs off the donkey.
Please, Paul, take me with you. I know languages. I could be an interpreter. I know geography. I'd do anything you ask.
Well, you and your mother have long been ministers to the brethren here in Jerusalem. You might be fine help to us on our trips.
You'd have to learn to pitch a tent, to fish, cook in the open.
I would, Uncle Barnabas. I'd work hard to be a real help to you.
All right, Mark. It's agreed. But I warn you, there are rough days ahead. All sorts of hardships and danger.
Mark listened attentively as Barnabas and Paul recounted the tales of cold, hunger, and danger they had encountered. He could hardly wait for the time he, too, would be a part of it all. At last, the day came when Mark kissed his mother goodbye and, as the scriptures say, Barnabas and Paul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Antioch. Such a long way to go. For Mark, there was so much to learn. How to scale a slippery fish, remove stones from a stubborn donkey's hoof, splice a rope, stake out a tent with skill and speed.
So much to learn. I don't think I'll ever learn it all.
But patiently, Barnabas and Paul taught Mark. And learn he did. Antioch was a great and lively city of Syria. The believers there were forever rushing about. For Barnabas and Paul, there was more to do than 10 men could do. And Mark was their helper. These were long and weary days for Mark, who had never before been away from his mother's comfortable home. Then, as the members of the church at Antioch were fasting and praying, a voice spoke.
Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Mark was not even mentioned by this voice from heaven. But, of course, he would go with them, for he was their minister and helper. As they sailed for the island of Cyprus, which had once been the home of Barnabas, he talked to Mark of his native land.
Oh, it'll seem good to see my island again, nephew.
Yes, Uncle. Cyprus is your home.
It was home. Before I sold my land and became a missionary.
It must be a lost feeling not to have a home.
Heaven is the missionary's home. Oh, I'm homesick for heaven.
So am I. But while my mother lives, I'm homesick for Jerusalem.
Oh, I suppose you do miss your mother.
Ah, how much longer before we'll be getting home, Uncle Barnabas?
Oh, better stop thinking about it, Mark. And talking, too. Others might think this homesickness of yours is a weakness.
Catch hold of that rope, Mark. We'll swing this mast around.
I can't, Paul. My hands.
Your hands? Let's see them. Oh, blistered and raw.
It was the storm. I worked all night with the ropes.
Your hands aren't yet toughened to this kind of work. But in time, they will be like mine. Better go to the galley and pour oil on them.
I will, Paul.
From Cyprus, the three took a long sea voyage and came to Perga. They made camp outside the city where Barnabas is now talking to his nephew, Mark.
Well, nephew, we're a long way from home. You've met strange people, seen strange lands. You're a true missionary.
Uncle Barnabas, after we finish here in Perga, are we going home?
Why, Mark, are you homesick?
I'm sick of eating fish, fighting insects, hiding from robbers, and trying to duck stones.
Oh, now you're looking on the wrong side of things. Think of all the souls we've saved.
Are we going home after Perga?
Well, I don't know. It depends on Paul.
Paul? Why does it depend on him? I thought you were the leader of this journey.
Paul is a powerful missionary. God is with him and is using him mightily.
But you've been a prophet and teacher longer than Paul. You were God's servant while he was still an enemy of the believers, stoning them.
Oh, Mark, you know Paul was converted by a miracle, too. He saw Jesus himself in a vision.
I know, Uncle Barnabas, but I still think you should be the leader of this trip. You were when we started out.
Oh, I'm happy to give someone else the responsibility. And we, you and I, should help him all we can.
I haven't been much help to anyone.
Oh, yes, you have. Oh, true, we've run into difficulties, opposition.
Difficulties? We've nearly been drowned at sea. Robbers have stolen our supplies. Men have tried to murder us. Surely the Lord doesn't expect us to take any more chances. I'm going home.
The Lord said, take this message to all the world. And we must do it, Mark.
Later, when the work in Perga was finished...
Tomorrow we leave for Antioch in Pisidia.
Pisidia? Only crazy people would undertake a journey through that land. Robbers swarm over those mountains. They beat travelers, steal their supplies, and leave them to die.
It is a dangerous journey, but the people of Antioch must hear the gospel.
We are three strong. We'll make it, all right?
Not strong enough for that country. No, thanks. Not me.
Oh, we've taught you the ways of wildlife, to face danger.
I'm not going with you.
Not going, Mark? Oh, you can't mean that.
There's a boat sailing for Jerusalem in the morning. I'll be on it.
Just when we need you more than ever?
You don't need me.
Oh, it'll be much harder for us without you, Mark.
I'm going back home.
But, Mark, you can't do this. You would be...
I think I know how he feels, Barnabas. Let him go back. A man who doubts and mistrusts, one who has lost faith and courage... We don't need such a man.
The voyage to Jerusalem was long and lonesome for Mark. He had plenty of time for thought, meditation, and regrets. He thought of his uncle and Paul braving the Pisidian mountains alone. He thought of the treacherous rivers and swarms of robbers. He meditated upon the dangers they would encounter, even in the cities, where they would be ridiculed and stoned. And he regretted that he would not be there to help. He remembered all the things Uncle Barnabas and Paul had in patience taught him. He hung his head in shame to think that he had repaid all that by distrust and desertion. His shame and regret still weighed heavily upon him as he arrived in Jerusalem and, finally, stood alone before the gate of his own home. He had only to knock the secret signal, and Rhoda would come running to let him in. His arms froze at his side. He couldn't lift his hand. He couldn't knock at his own gate.
What have I done? I've run away from my duty like a child. A silly child, I've come home crying back to my mother. I can't face them. I can't.
Mark.
Yes? Who is it?
Mark.
Sounds like Peter.
It is Peter.
My imagination is running away with me. I'm losing my mind.
It is a good thing sometimes to imagine others with experience are speaking to us.
You have something to say to me, to my conscience.
You are suffering, Mark, because you ran away from your duty.
Yes, I'm suffering. I'm sick with hating myself.
I understand your remorse, regrets, Mark.
No one can understand how terrible I feel.
I do, Mark. I do because I, too, deserted in time of need.
You deserted? Who?
I deserted the Master, Jesus. Surely the other disciples must have told you. I denied Jesus 3 times. I even said that I had never known him.
Yes. Yes, I remember. The disciples did tell me. It was when they were getting ready to kill Jesus, right when he needed you most.
Yes, Mark. When Jesus needed me, I wasn't there to help him.
But why? Why did you do it, Peter?
I was a coward, Mark. I loved Jesus, but I was a coward. I was afraid they would capture me and whip me and mock me, even spit on me as they did him.
You were cowardly.
Yes, Mark. And that's why you've come home, Mark. You're afraid. Afraid to face dangers. afraid to face your own weaknesses, afraid to suffer. You're a coward, Mark.
Yes. Yes, I have to admit it, I am a coward. I'm just plain scared. How can I get over it, Peter? What can I do now, Peter, to atone for...
Master Mark, you're home.
Yes. Yes, Rhoda, I've come home.
For months, Mark worried about his Uncle Barnabas and Paul. In those grief-stricken and self-censoring months, Mark learned that sleepless nights and mental anguish are much harder to endure than storms at sea, wild rivers, and mountain robbers. More and more, he longed to go back and prove to his uncle and Paul that he was worthy to be a minister and a missionary. Finally, his desire materialized. He journeyed to Antioch and joined his Uncle Barnabas and Paul. There came a day when the work in Antioch was finished, and Paul and Barnabas planned to move on to new fields of endeavor.
Perhaps it would be well to visit the brethren in every city we've preached.
Oh, fine idea. When shall we start?
Immediately. As soon as we can buy the necessary supplies.
We'll take Mark with us. Just the other day.
No.
No? What do you mean?
We're not taking Mark. He might leave us again, just when we need him the most.
Oh, he's a new man, Paul. He's changed.
Yeah, this will be a long and hard journey. Only strong men could endure it.
Well, I'm convinced that Mark has become strong.
He's proved himself weak.
Well, how will he ever prove himself strong if we don't give him a chance?
No. We will not take Mark with us.
Paul, you are a worthy leader, but I will not submit all my thinking to your judgment.
I have no intention of doing your thinking for you. But I will not go with someone who'll be begging us to turn back when we should go forward. I have to think of the souls we labor for, and not some weak city man who can't be away from his mother.
All right, then. Go without me.
Without you?
If you won't forgive my nephew for a moment of weakness, you don't need me either. Get someone else to go with you.
But Barnabas, the work is more important than the individual. Surely we, you and I, can find
maybe some... Maybe Silas will go with you.
All right. I'll take Silas with me. He won't turn back.
Acts 15, verse 39 reads, And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Barnabas took Mark, and they sailed for Cyprus.
Never shall I forget, Uncle Barnabas, that you've given me this new chance to prove my worth.
Well, all of us at times need a new chance.
And I don't blame Paul for not wanting to take me with him.
You've forgiven Paul completely?
Completely.
And why is it easier to forgive him now?
Because I've made my own mistakes. I know how wretched a man can feel when he's done a great wrong.
Someday Paul will forgive and forget your mistake.
I hope so. I shall live for Paul's forgiveness and respect.
The years pass. With eagerness, Mark followed the career of Paul, the man whose respect he had lost. As reports continued to come to Mark of Paul's courage and integrity through all kinds of suffering, Mark's love and admiration grew. He longed to be with Paul just once more. Finally, news came to Mark that Paul was held in prison in Rome. This was his chance. He hastened to Rome, to the prison, to Paul. By the time Mark got there, Paul had been in prison and chains for 4 long years. He was changed from the young man of strength to one of old age, weak, weary, and sick.
Mark, you've come to see me?
Yes, Brother Paul.
Oh, I give thanks to God. Come near to me, Mark.
Brother Paul, I can't bear the sight of your chains.
Be cheerful, my friend.
I rejoice in persecutions for the sake of my master and his work.
Your courage, Paul, it's wonderful, strong as ever.
I long to see you, Mark. I've heard such good reports that you've become a true minister of the gospel. Where will you be preaching next?
Oh, I'm staying here, Paul, while you are in chains. I'm going to stay and take care of you.
This is more kindness than I deserve. More than I gave you during your trying hour.
You made a soldier of me, Paul. A true soldier of the cross. And I'm indebted to you. Because of you, I shall never again turn back. But forge onward. Forward.
The letters written from that prison refer to John Mark as a fellow laborer and as a great comfort to him. After the death of Paul, Mark again ministered to someone in prison there in Rome, Peter. It was probably here, with Peter's help, that John Mark wrote the gospel that is called Mark. The disciples of Christ, the men who held the pens that wrote God's word, were very human people with very common human faults and weaknesses. God can turn those weaknesses into strength and use them in his work, just as he changed and greatly used John Mark.
The man who turned back.